Hi there. This is Scott Johnson from the Fuzzy Blog. That's fuzzyblog.com. And if you want all the podcasts, it's fuzzyblog.com/podcasts.
Hi there. Thank you for listening. Okay, so the topic of this podcast is how to learn PHP. And in it, I will tell you exactly how I learned PHP, and I will tell you how you can learn PHP too. My assumption is that you don't know PHP and you fall into one of two criteria. Okay? And the first criteria is that you're a technical person who knows one or more programming languages. And the second criteria is that you're a technical person who does not know one or two programming languages. Okay? And it's considerably easier to learn PHP if you are if you already know a language. Okay, but if you don't, that's okay too. What's most important in this, as in any learning context, is the desire to learn. If you have that, I firmly believe that you can pretty much learn anything. I apologize for that boinging noise. Verizon, which is my broadband provider for my DSL, is turning, or actually, excuse me, it's SBC, which I think, due to conglomeration, is now Verizon again. Is in the process of terminating all my connections because they're stupid and I hate them and they should be burned at the stake. But anyway, now let me give you a little bit of backstory. In the span of one day, I've heard from two distinct people, both people I like and respect, that they need to learn PHP and they don't. And to me, that means either write a blog entry or make a podcast, and it's vastly easier to talk to you than to write. So, hence the podcast. So, the first thing you need to do is you need a learning resource. And the best learning resource is an instructor on a bench. In the absence of that, hang on for one sec. Let me see if I can stop this termination. Okay, I have now reconnected 25 additional Unix terminal sessions. Hopefully that's enough to fix that. So anyway, the best possible learning resource is firmly the Socratic method, right? You know, it's the, you know, you've got a tree trunk with a teacher on one end and a student on the other. In the absence of that, the next best resource is a book, and I'll tell you exactly what book to buy. And I've got a little bit of bias here because I know the authors personally. The single best book for learning PHP, in my opinion, is PHP and MySQL Web Development by Luke and Laura Thompson, or I think it's actually Luke Thompson and Laura Welling, or Laura Welling and Luke Thompson. They're a married couple who wrote the book, and they're wonderful people. The book's published by Sam's. It's available on Amazon. It's linked to from this blog post, hopefully. At least the cover's there. And whatever you do, get that book. That's the book I learned PHP from. So I'm a firm believer in learning programming languages that you can take all the classes you want, but until you actually write lines of code yourself in an editor, run it, you won't know it. Okay? Now, there are the few among us who don't need that. And honestly, those people aren't listening to this podcast. So the first thing that you've got to do is, in my opinion, you pick a project. Okay, and I'll tell you exactly how I learned PHP. In maybe March of 2002, I got a phone call from my friend Gretchen. And I hadn't talked to her in a while. And she said to me, "Hey, Scott, I'm doing some web consulting for this little local company. And we need some software written. And I was wondering if you could do that for us." And at the time, I was an unemployed web consultant. And I would actually describe that more as I was not even really a web consultant. I was more just sort of like screwing around because I was out of work and had, at this point, sent out 452 resumes and hadn't found a job yet. And I said, "Why, sure, Gretchen. I'd be happy to do that." And Gretchen's one of my favorite people. She's just a wonderful person. And I had a host that I used for just different web stuff, and I knew it had PHP on it. And I said, "I'll write it in PHP." And I went down and met with the client and came back that weekend and cracked open that book, which I happened to have on the bookshelf, or had or ran out and bought that day. I'm not sure which. And I would say, honestly, it was luck of the draw that it was that book. It happened to be exactly the right book for my learning style. That book is a particularly hands-on book, and it just guides you through building things step by step. Make sure you get the third edition. That's actually a pretty good... The third edition or later, that's a pretty good edition. And the system in question was they needed a database-backed system to send emails. Okay. So I started at the basics, right? I figured out, what do I need for a table structure in MySQL to send emails? Well, that was, at the very least, you need a table of the addresses, and you need a table of the messages, and then you need a log of what you sent. Okay? Well, that's not so hard. It's three tables. So I took out a copy of phpMyAdmin, which I had on my web server, because my hosting company at the time, which I think was Rackspace, had it set up. And I made three tables, and I think every single column was a varchar. Right? It was the prototypical PHP and MySQL application. Every single table's a varchar, because you don't know any better at that time. And I built a little app, and it was the world's suckiest app. And took it off to the client, and he told me exactly what was wrong with it. Clients are good like that. Like, they won't tell you that every column's a varchar, but they'll tell you what they need. Right? They're the client. They actually do sometimes know this. And then I built the next edition of that, and then I built the next edition of that. And when my buddy Brian, who's probably one of the best programmers I've ever met, okay, and Brian's just brilliant, I asked him once how he learned a language. And this was 1987, and he was co-oping at General Electric. And he was working on this obscure mainframe system at the time. It wasn't an IBM, it wasn't a DEC, it was something bizarre. And he said, Scott, I just write programs. I write the stupidest things in the world, like today I wrote a clock. And I said, Brian, well, doesn't the mainframe already have a clock? And he said, yeah, it does, but that's not the point. All right? I wrote a clock because it taught me how time works on the system. I wrote a file find tool because it taught me how files work on the system. And Brian's a smart guy. And Brian's one of those kids whose dad worked in the computer industry. His dad writes heads-up systems for one of the F-series fighters, right? The man's 70-plus years old and still programming an ADA on real-time systems. I mean, this man's brilliant. Or at least the last time I talked to him, he was that age and still writing that kind of code. I'm not sure. It's been a few years. I may not still be doing it. And, you know, his point was, in order to learn how to use a system, in order to learn how to write a program, you write programs. You can read about it, but for most of us, the retention process is dramatically augmented by actually doing it. Okay? And I asked him if he ever worked through books. Okay? And Brian said, sure, sometimes. But most of the time, I just start with a project and I start just do it. Now, mind you, this is 87, right? This is before open source. This is before millions of examples, you know, billions and billions of bytes talking about how to program. This is before like great websites like PHP.net that tell you how to do things. Now that you know that, let's talk a little bit about the basics of programming. Okay. At the heart of any programming language are three or four basic concepts. The first one is variables. Variables are placeholders that represent values. So in PHP, if you say $A equals true, that's a variable. It's named A, and it contains the value true. PHP variables are what are called untyped, and what that means is that $A can contain true at one point, and then the next minute you can set it to QWERTY42F, and then it's a string variable. And $A could also contain let's say a whole set of containers, like an array. Okay, so the variables are untyped and they're dynamic. Okay. So that's the first concept, variables. The second concept is conditional logic, and this is where you say if $A equals equals true, then do something. Okay. Now, I'm not giving you the exact syntax, because syntax is something that varies per language, and you just have to learn it. Okay. And you'll screw it up several times, and then ultimately you'll get into the hang of it, and then you're sort of your fingers have the memory. And so basically you say if condition, then action. And the PHP exact PHP syntax is if parentheses $A equals equals, okay, condition, in this case true, which is a constant in PHP and it's all uppercase, or it, the convention is it's all uppercase, closing parens, open squirrely brace, closing squirrely brace. Technically, you don't have to have the squirrely braces, which are on the keyboard to the right of the P key, at least on a Windows keyboard. Practically speaking, I tend to recommend always putting them in, because the way you don't have to have them in PHP is if you only have a one-line statement, like an assignment. Generally speaking, as things grow, you always end up with more stuff in there. The next core concept is iteration. Okay, so basically, while some condition, do something. If I believe my memory is correct, if you have those three things, variables, conditional logic, and iteration, you have what's called a Turing-complete programming language, which means it's real. and those are the core concepts, right? Assign a value to some kind of memory. Test a condition, and then loop. Okay? So, now I'm going to talk about an example that I gave to a friend today, a friend yesterday, as to how she could learn PHP. So I'm talking to this person, and they say to me, I had heard through my grapevine that this person was about to take a PHP training class, and I called them up and said, hey, what are they going to charge you for that? And her comment to me was about $3,500. And so I asked her, is that coming out of an employer's budget or is that coming out of your own pocket? And she said, my own pocket. And my comment to her was on the order of run and hide. Okay. And the reason why I said that was that, well, that's a lot of money. And in my opinion, if it's coming out of an employer's pocket and they're paying it for professional development, it's perfectly valid. If it's coming out of your own personal pocket, that's a lot of money, and you shouldn't have to spend that. So this person's a blogger, and she uses WordPress, and I said to her, well, what you really need is a learning project, and here's one. Okay, and this project has been done probably dozens of times. I don't think it's ever been done particularly well, but what you need is a learning project. And a lot of people sort of are aghast at the amount of effort that goes in the open source community at reinventing the wheel. Okay, we have KDE and we have GNOME. We have PHP and we have Perl. We have how many different log analysis tools, right? And once upon a time, I sort of agreed with that. And when I look at open source projects as a way for people to learn and grow their own skill set, sure, you've got some redundancy, but you also get some great things. And yes, I agree it's awful that there are 80-plus tumbling toolkits in registered in CPAN, which is the Perl programming archive. But you know something? Every one of those programmers learned a lot from doing those projects. And why should I take it away from them? Okay? More power to them. I hate like hell the waste of resources, but, you know, if it works for them, it works for them. So my comment to her was, you know WordPress, I know your feed's on FeedBurner, and wouldn't you like to have those stats on your own server and controlled by you so that you actually knew, so you actually had access to the raw data? And her comment was yes. So I whipped out a quick, my SQL table definition, and I said, here's a table definition. Go into WordPress, figure out where the processing of these values occurs. Okay, so somewhere in WordPress, and I don't know where it is. Okay, because I only impersonate a WordPress hacker. I haven't actually done a lot of WordPress hacking. figure out where these values come from. Okay, and in PHP, I think it's all stored in the what's called $_ request. And that's all uppercase. It's a system level variable, and it has all the information about the incoming request from the web. Okay, find out where this information gets processed, and then write a function that inserts those values into a MySQL table. Okay, do only that. Okay, why? Well, if you're going to write any kind of web statistics system, and that's what any kind of feed analysis is, you have to have the data to be analyzed. Okay, and you can worry a lot about how to process the data, you know, how to crunch it, etc., but you still got to have the data, right? So if you think about this, basically you've got to go into a live system, figure out a way to get the data out of a PHP variable, you've got to normalize it, and you've got to insert it into a table. So this one example actually covers an awful lot of sort of basic computer science, right? Because you're going to get, for example, a string out of the request variable that tells you the date and time. Well, you need to process that, right? So that means you need to use PHP's date or make time function in order to convert it into what's called a Unix epoch, which is the one proper way to do times, right? I'm sorry, MySQL. I love your native time functions, but Unix epochs are vastly better. As long as, of course, you don't have to go before 1969. You'll have to deal with data that includes backslashes. Okay, backslashes denote escape sequences within, or actually single quotes. Excuse me, not backslashes, single quotes. Brain freeze, brain fart. It is after all 3 a.m. And you know you'll have to know to take the data and call MySQL _real_escape_string on it. Okay, and so on. Now, if you're doing this properly, I suspect WordPress has some kind of database-independent API, since it can run on multiple databases, and it probably has its own string sanitization functions before they go into the database. Okay, but the point is that the way to The way to learn something is to just start coding. Okay, Matt Mullenweg, the guy who wrote WordPress, is an awesome programmer today. I would wager that he was less awesome when he started the WordPress project, okay? Right? The way you learn in programming is by doing, and the way you do is by starting, right? And all you really need to start learning how to program is a project, okay? Pick something you want to do and just do it, okay? And lest you think, but Scott, you're an expert. You've been doing this stuff forever. Well, that's true, but everyone starts somewhere. If you remember, I said March 2002, I started doing PHP. Six months later, I was a speaker at one of the PHP conferences, where, interestingly enough, I met my future wife, who turns out to have been the editor of that book I mentioned. And 6 months after that, I had started Feedster. Okay, so you too can do this, right? It really isn't all that hard. Programmers want you to think that what they do is impossible and so incredibly sophisticated, etc., and it's not. It's just a skill like any other skill. Okay, you know, as long as what you're doing isn't so far beyond the bounds of mortal men, okay, for example, quantum physics, okay, something I'll never understand, you too can learn to program. Thanks for listening.